Welcome to worship this morning. It's good to be with you. We hope not only are we present to one another, but that we're present to God with us this morning, that Christ is really actually here. As I said several weeks ago in a sermon, Christ is here for realsies, for really real. And so we hope we can enter into this space this morning with that thought in mind. So thanks for coming, and thanks for your intention to be present to God. Let's sing together. Dear friends, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with expectation as we meet the living Word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Dear friends, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Pause before our Maker and in silence hear Christ's voice. Christ the living Word now meets us in His truth. Let us rejoice. What we are should not appall us, for God's mercy meets us here. We are now made one in Jesus. May our worship be sincere. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and care for people till God makes their lives anew. As we walk through the earth gladly, let us speak the truth in love. Transform lives and faithful action here on earth as it is above. Thank you. fount of every blessing, tune our hearts to sing your praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach us some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of your redeeming. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in God's justice that is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner, and more graces for the good. There is mercy with our Savior. There is healing in God's love. For the love of God is broader than the measure of our mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more simple, we would take Christ at his word, and our lives would be illumined by the presence of our.
This morning, part of what my excitement has been to have Nate and Wendy here. They have been an important part of my growth in Christ. The first time that I met Wendy was, I think, at Johann's wedding, where you played there, and I go, wow, this is so nice. Among other things, she, among the many other things she does, is customized live wedding music, and I might add, with exceptional quality. I wasn't sure how to pronounce this. Efesenden?
Efesenden.
Say it again.
Okay. Efesenden.
Say that five times fast.
Don't.
But anyway, this is a group and that she has founded. You can see some sample music projects that she's done out here in the foyer, and also some sample music projects that Nate has done as well out here on the foyer. If you'd like to learn about, like I alluded to that, the many, many other things that Wendy or Nate are involved in, you could. It's very simple to remember, wendygoodwin.com or natemacy.com. You just look those up online. They are remarkable people. They have done so much. One of the things that I've appreciated about both of them is that they've two times come and offered a holiday worship service that was so unusual. It was meant to be, designed to be a time where you just take time out of this busy holiday season and you decompress. Even when you walk in, and begin to hear the music, your soul would begin to rest. And it was so worshipful. They designed this for families to have an opportunity to be together in a very low-key environment and to be able to just worship. This year, we're not going to be able to do that because Wendy is making space in her life during that season. She toured in Europe and then is now home, has added another little person since we last met her in her life, and so she's very, very busy. But they've included us in their schedule, and for that we feel greatly blessed. Nate, I think, has been a kind of an honorary part of Cherry Grove for a number of years. He has provided music for our all-church worship, all-church retreats. He's been involved with our youth camps, our Northwest Yearly Meeting. Several of you have taken the discernment training workshop, and he's led worship at that as well. And again, you can see some of the projects that both of them have done out there. What seems obvious to me is their desire, their heart's desire, is to offer their best to God in worship. The excellence that they bring to their worship shows their deep love for God, and I think a sense that they found their true home with their giftedness before God. They are excellent prompters in worship. They prompt you and me to make space in our lives for God and to live more fully, giving our best selves to God. You know, there are sometimes we don't know how to do that. Sometimes our lives are so full of things that we're left in quiet moments, hungering, longing for more. Sometimes we recognize that as related to spiritual hunger and desire. Sometimes we miss it and we don't really pay attention that much to it. And even when we do identify it as a spiritual need, we often don't know how to begin. Well, this morning, I think we're taking a different approach to things. Consider this morning an opportunity to begin. An opportunity to begin. Nate and Macy, I'm sure, don't want us to get lost in just the great music, because it's going to be great music. But they want to prompt us to make a beginning, to offer our very, what seem like ordinary lives to God as an act of worship and to begin with Him. So I'd like to welcome Wendy and Nate. We are here with you and our present Savior, ready to take a next step.
Thanks, Arden. It's sometimes hard to know what to say when somebody says that many kind things about you at once. Like Arden said, our goal in doing this is to create space to pay attention to what God's doing. That's our hope. And I think we do this as much for ourselves as for you. I don't want to come across as selfish, but you know, we need this space created too. And this is a good way to do it for us. And this first song we're going to play comes from Augustine, actually. So, I mean, he didn't write the music that we know of, but he he did write this quote. And and he said, "Say it to my soul in a way that I can hear you." And I love that prayer. I mean, it's such a great prayer, right? Like, God, make this possible for me. And that's resonated for 1,500 years, 1,600 years, that these words have been around and people have taken life from that. And it seemed like a good place to start as we do this journey together this morning. And just sort of a heads up for you about sort of the process. we'll play some and that you can listen to and just sort of relax into, and then we'll do some singing together. We'll let you know what we're doing, and we'll try to give some helpful words as we move forward that sort of connect these things so that it's not just random jumping around. So this is a heart prayer for me, and one that's historical. Say it to my soul in a way that I can hear you. Say it to my soul and I'll run to be near you. My heart is listening, so say it to my soul. Say it to my soul in a way that I can hear you. Say it to my soul and I'll run to be near you. My heart is listening, so say it to my soul. Say it to my soul in a way that I can hear you. Say it to my soul and I'll run to be near you. My heart is listening, so say it to my soul. Say it to my soul.
One of the things we want to try to be about is to be people of intention, and to, in all that we do and in our unique personalities and the things that move us, to be able to look for the divine and to recognize that that can be communicated in so many different ways, that there's not this template that we have to fit into, and then we'll be able to hear a word from the Lord. For me, one of the ways that I hear best is actually when I'm out in nature. And so a number of the pieces of music that I've written in the last couple of years have been about looking for the divine in these beautiful places that God has created. This next song is a piece called Stars, and it was inspired by a trip to the North Cascades. I don't know if any of you have been up there, but beautiful mountainscapes. And this was actually inspired by a night driving home without a moon and pulling off at one of the mountain passes and just seeing the sky above just exploding with stars. And I just really felt in that moment this sense of, wow, I'm so tiny, but this is so beautiful and so big, and this feeling of being safe and welcomed even as I'm this very small being in the universe. And so this is a piece called Stars.
So this next tune really connects in part with what Wendy was saying about meeting God through nature, and that this isn't a new idea. This has been around for a while. And when I was at Fox doing some of my work there, there was an opportunity to write some songs based on the writings of some of the saints and some of the mystics. And so St. Francis was one of those folks that I got to write a song based on some of his writings. And this is probably the most famous that's actually written by St. Francis. Some of you know the prayer of St. Francis, which is escaping me at the moment. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Some of you may be familiar with this. And I learned actually just this fall that that was erroneously credited to St. Francis by Quakers, of all people. I had this great sermon all prepared about how St. Francis was amazing and did a little more research on this prayer and learned, oh no, there were other people who were amazing, and St. Francis was amazing, but they weren't amazing together on this idea. So, but this one actually, as far as we know, St. Francis actually did write this one. It's often known as the Canticle of the Sun. And Francis is well known for being in connection with the natural world. There's, you know, stories of him taming wolves so that they wouldn't go eat the villagers anymore, and that the wolf, you know, bowed down to Francis and they had this conversation. And there's stories about him and the birds, and he's just well known as somebody who appreciates nature and connects that sacred piece with our faith. And so as I thought about this particular piece, the other thing that's true about St. Francis is he was a mendicant, so he roamed around a bit. And I wondered, well, what if he'd been born in the South in the early 20th century, which I'm sure you all have wondered too. And if he had a guitar, what he would have done with it. And, you know, and given the fact that he was poor, he probably would have played slide guitar. And this is all true, you know, this is... And so this song came out of it, and really connects with this idea of giving God praise all the time and being aware of what God's doing in all the things that are around us. Praise the Lord with all creation, especially for brother son, through whom you give us the light of day. He is beautiful and radiant.
Be praised, O Lord, with all creation, for brother wind and the air, through whom you sustain us, whether cloudy or fair.
For Mother Earth, our home, she gives us ground to live on, and by her majesty reveals you, God.
For those who forgive for love of you, who through trial and tribulation, and are crowned by peace by you.
Praise the Lord with all creation, for the end of life, our sister death. We will not fear her coming, but know you'll guide us to the end.
One of the things that gets in the way of us having space in our lives is actually things. And I think especially in our culture, I think that's one of the hardest things for us to get around. And especially looking at those around us and saying, I want what they have, and what do I have to do to get it? Maybe I need to work a little harder. Maybe I need to maybe go into debt a little bit more so that I can have this life that this other person has that I know would just make me happy. And I think we all know when we stop and think about it that that usually doesn't translate into happiness. And so being able to take space and ask ourselves, with the things that we do, are we really doing them because it's who we're meant to be and we're becoming more of who we're meant to be, or are we doing them because we're trying to be somebody else? And this is a song called Grateful.
I have, though they are broken badly. She thinks they'll polish up just fine. Mistaking treasures for the garbage they're hidden under. When will she realize she's sitting on a gold mine? It's always
someone else.
It's always
something else.
Stop and realize you're having a good life. We were very young. I thought you were an angel. Now that we're grown and older, spots were on your halo. So different than we imagined that it would be.
Some things left unfinished,
some that never would be. It's always
someone else.
It's always
something else.
Stop and realize you're having a good life.
Unfinished.
We can't go back.
All things considered, I'm having a good life.
broken badly. Someday she'll realize she's sitting on a gold mine.
I'm kind of a perfectionist, and I think studying classical violin, you kind of make it your life's work to hear the problems with yourself and your playing and stuff. And it's interesting because I would say few things in life have informed me more about my faith than becoming a parent, because no matter how hard I try, I daily do something that I feel is pretty much inexcusable, and I know that other parents feel the same. And I think this is for a reason. I think this is one of those things in life that it makes you better, but at times isn't always the easiest process to go through, and yet is also the most joyous process to go through. So this next piece is a song that was written about kind of one of those moments. When my oldest daughter was 2, she was the type that would just get into the kitchen and just pull everything out of the drawers, you know, and we don't have a very big place, and so it would just be total chaos, and no matter how hard I'd try to keep her out, she'd always get in there, and I had a lot of different advice about parenting and stuff, but I ended up just moving everything so she couldn't get into it anymore. And that was a good solution. I don't know to this day where most of the things that I use to cook are. Like, actually, a couple weeks ago, I found, you know, the knives you use to fillet a fish? I found one of those on top of the refrigerator, so I'm glad it didn't fall. But anyway, I think that this next piece is a song called Viennese Terror, and to kind of like explore the idea of how children bring into our lives these elements of beauty and chaos, we thought we would add to the morning service with that. So if the kids wanna, Nate's gonna make his way around, and if the kids wanna play on this next song, we'd like to invite you to add your voice with your hands with these spoons, in honor of my kitchen being ransacked, in honor of the Viennese Terror. And Nate being Nate, we got this idea, and I said, hey, can you go to Goodwill and get some spoons? And Nate being Nate, a spoon wasn't enough. He had to design it into a homegrown musical instrument. So.
Well, so some of you have been to our Christmas concert and have seen our percussionist, Jim, who actually knows how to play the spoons. And so that's where this inspiration came from a little bit. These are actually spoons I found at Wendy's house in places she doesn't look. we actually had a very interesting discussion about spoons when we first got here this morning, that Arden and others and Matt had grown up with spoons, that, you know, this was sort of a required musical instrument, and some of you maybe are in that place, you remember this. So you might help the children out around you if they are needing some help with spoons. And kids, the thing is, stick your finger kind of in between the two rubber bands. These are sort of homemade spoon percussive things. I know you wouldn't know by looking at them. So just stick your finger in there, and then that lets them clack against each other. Okay? So give that a practice. How you doing? Yeah? That sounds like the spoons are working.
Wonderful.
Okay, and so is there anybody who didn't get spoons and needs them? Because I'm not going to play these. I'll bring them to you in just a second.
Or you can play Nate's guitar.
Yeah, you can come. Yeah. We'll trade. But it's very important that you stay with us on this.
And then after this piece, we'd like to invite the children who head to Children's Church to feel like they can go ahead and do that. But not until you've played your spoons. Thank you. Awesome so kids, job.
Yeah. Kids, you are dismissed to your places of worship. If you would drop your spoons, maybe just back up here on the stage someplace as you go. Thanks for giving that a shot. We've laughed a little bit about there's that sort of second piece of the melody. Bum, 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 bum. I can never sing it right when I first try. But we always get this sort of like the toddlers on the edge of the canyon. You know, you're down in the lowlands, and here come this group of toddlers up to the edge. You know, here they come. I have to say, I think you guys knew we were bringing spoons because those kids sounded like they knew what they were doing. So at this point, we'd like to take the offertory, and Arden, were you going to come? And...
Would you join me? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for inviting us closer to you. We are especially grateful for this time where we can give back some token of our deepest gratitude. You do all things well in our lives, and help us to see that, to live more gratefully. Please receive these offerings with the joy that's behind them. We're happy to be in your kingdom, happy to be called your own, and happy to give toward your kingdom's work. May it increase. Not only because of these offerings, but because of how we are as your subjects. Bless you. Amen.
So we thought it might be appropriate as we're taking offerings to sing about what Paul says in Romans that we ought to give as our offerings, as well as our resources, but ourselves. So here's a chance to sing together. Take your ordinary life, the one you live every day, and give it as a gift to God, all you do and say. We take our ordinary life, the ones we live every day, and give them as gifts, O God, all we do and say. Please take our ordinary lives, the ones we live every day, take them as gifts, O God, all we do and say. Take your ordinary life, the one you live every day, and give it as a gift to God, all you do and say, all you do and say.
all you do and say. Amen. Teach us to listen. Teach us to feel you move. Teach us to pay attention. Teach us to know your love. Teach us to listen. Teach us to feel you move. Teach us to pay attention. Teach us to know your love, and know we will be your people, and you will be our God. Deliver us from evil, and guide us on. Teach us to listen. Teach us to feel you move. Teach us to pay attention. Teach us to know your love, and know we will be your people, and you will be our God. Deliver us from evil, and guide us on, and oh, we will be your people, and you will be our God. Deliver us from evil, and guide us on. Teach us to listen. Teach us to feel you move. Teach us to pay attention. Teach us to know your
I think one of the things that's maybe a human nature thing is that we start to get some traction and something's meaningful to us and we're feeling like we're growing as people or being blessed, and then we hold on to that thing and or that experience or that place, and we make that the thing rather than that God was blessing us through that thing. And this next piece is a song that it's been cool playing at different places. It's a song for me that's a kind of about nostalgia, about a place that that I loved growing up, and that place doesn't look the way it does anymore. It's and how many people, like, we played this in at a church in California, and a gentleman came up to me, and he grew up in Kuwait, And he was talking about how he'd had a similar experience with his grandparents' home and how it had changed. And I just thought that's maybe a universal human truth that a place can really bless us, but then it can change and that can be a hard thing. But my process with this song was realizing that you still have that blessing even if the physical place isn't what it once was.
Thank you.
part of I think part of our inclination sometimes in our walk of faith is to sort of try to ignore the hard stuff. And we don't necessarily do that very well, I don't think. Partly because the hard stuff is pretty hard to ignore. You know, and whether that's change and the loss of places or friends or things that have been important and sacred to us, or whether that's just stuff that goes on in our lives. And life has this way of happening, right? And we don't control it. And, you know, sometimes it seems like the harder I try, the less well I do at controlling life. It has a way of reasserting that I'm not in control. And I think sometimes we're guilty of ignoring that when we come before God together. Because Paul says things like, be content in all things. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Things like that, which are true things. But those true things don't mean that the hard things don't happen, right? And so I think it's sometimes important for us to stop and say, you know, when we talk about things like salvation, when we talk about things like God's grace, when we talk about life and peace and hope, which are all these major themes that God brings into our lives and truth that God works in through all this stuff, that we're not just talking about something that's ideological or something that's in the distant future, but we're talking about right now. You know, and I think we've said this morning in multiple ways, you know, God's all around us all the time, which is true. And God's around us in our pain too. And that pain is not too big for God, not too scary for God. Our doubt isn't too scary for God. And so when we talk about God's salvation, when we talk about God being the one who comes in and is our rock, which is, you know, this is Psalm language, right? You're the rock of my salvation. You're the steadfast place that I hide. That's not just an idea, but that's true. And I know as we practice this song this week, sometimes this happens. You write a song and you don't play it for a little while, and you come back and you play it again, and it just sort of washes over you again, and you go, oh, yeah, that's what that was about. So we'll sing this together. This is Psalm 62. We'll sing this together, and then we'll take a little time in open worship. And we just encourage you. There's been a lot of things. It's been a full morning. For being a spacious morning, it's been a full morning. We've noticed that there's a lot of words that we say when we do this. And so there may be ways that God has been working in you as we've met this morning, things that God is drawing out in you. So we'll take some time in silence, and if you feel like God is calling you to give a message to the group, the Spirit's doing that in you, feel free to do that. We'll take a few minutes that way, and then we'll regather and sing a little more. Soul finds rest in God alone. Salvation comes from God. My soul finds rest in God alone. Salvation comes from God. My soul finds rest in God alone. Salvation comes from God. My soul finds rest in God alone. Salvation comes from God. You are my rock and my salvation. You are my fortress, and I will not be shaken. My soul finds rest in God alone. Salvation comes from God. My soul finds rest in God alone. Salvation comes from God. My salvation, you are my fortress, and I will not be shaken. My soul finds rest in God alone. Salvation comes from God. My soul finds rest in God alone. Salvation comes from God. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. When the path is unclear, way forward is unknown. When all seems deserted and alone, I'll trust you are here and provide all I need to be well, to be well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Praise God for this day, through our work your kingdom come. Help our faithfulness to be bold, through the work of our hands and the words of our mouths, make it well, make it well with our souls. It is well. It is well with our souls. It is well,
it is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well. It's been good to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for having us. We'd like to sing one last tune. Arden is in a hurry. He doesn't.
The pot roast.
Yeah, the pot roast. You can tell he's out of practice. It's. You know, somebody's going to have to help feed you anyway with that arm like that. You're going to. We like to end with a blessing song, and it's one that we bless, that you sing to each other as well as us sing to you. I think we've done this one together here before. It's called Grace to You, and it's a simple blessing. And I always feel a little guilty asking people to do this when we sing, and that is to look at each other. Because I have a real hard time looking at people when I sing things to them. It's just sort of a vulnerable spot for me. So if you can, look at each other, or you're even free to, you know, move around a little bit and give each other a hug, or, you know, pat on the back, or whatever seems appropriate as a way of blessing each other. So let's sing this, and then Arden will come up and close us. Grace to you, grace to you, God's great grace to you. As you walk through your life in joy or in strife, God's grace, God's great grace to you. Love to you, God's great love to you. As you walk through your life in joy or in strife, God's love, God's great love to you. Peace to you, God's great peace to you. As you walk through your life in joy or in strife, God's peace, God's great peace to you. Grace to you, God's great grace to you. As you walk through your life in joy or in strife, God's grace, God's great grace to you.